You're listening to 11 Minutes Now, Denver's newest podcast for live theater lovers all over the world. Now, house lights down and stage lights up. Here are your hosts, Janine, Alicia, and Kevin.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to 11 Minutes Now, an 11 Minutes Theater production. I'm your host, Kevin, along with Janine and Alicia. Hola, señoritas.
Hola.
Hola.
How you doing tonight, ladies?
Wonderful. I mean, we're here in the Bug Theater.
Live at
right
the Bug.
Now.
Yes, after rehearsal.
After rehearsal.
Yeah, right after rehearsal, we're here. We're currently rehearsing The Cherry Orchard.
Yep.
And right after rehearsal, we're doing the podcast. And I love it. We're sitting back here in the
green room.
With all of our fans.
All of our fans.
Oh, yeah. All those fans. Let's hear the fans.
Come on, guys.
They're just
too good to us.
They're so good to us. Bless their hearts.
Yes. It's so nice to be here.
It is.
It's a good space.
Yes. Absolutely. If you guys have not been to the Bug, please go. It's on
38th and Fox.
Navajo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, come on down there. There are so many great shows and performances here. So please do. Anyway.
Yes. Yay.
So guys, today.
What is the episode?
Yeah. So the episode today, I thought we'd talk about our techies, our technical crew. And I'm calling it bitextual. And let me tell you why, okay?
Because it sounds sexual.
Well, yes, it does. But when I was in high school, I was a part of the stage crew. So I was an actor and part of the stage crew. And that was not very common at the time.
Uh-huh.
So they brought me in. The techies brought me into their lair, their dark lair, and then called me a bitextual, that I could be both an actor and a techie. So exactly. So I thought, why not pay homage to, you know, the folks who actually make everything happen? So they're really the unsung heroes of theater.
Make
sure the show goes on.
Yep.
The lights don't go out. And we actually have a set to walk on.
Yeah, I mean,
think, because they are unappreciated.
Totally.
You don't realize everything that they contributed to make it happen.
Exactly. You don't realize it unless it goes wrong.
Right.
That's exactly.
Oh, the sound or the lighting or the, yeah.
Yeah, so, and then you're like, oh shit, that is a thing that's happening.
Yes.
In the show. Yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
So I thought we would, you know, kind of talk about them and, you know, the world of theater with the techies. So since we are primarily actors, right?
Yeah.
I thought that I'd ask you guys the ish.
Uh huh.
Okay.
Tell me what your guys' thoughts are. Okay.
Okay.
So okay. Number one, as an actor, right?
Uh-huh.
That's where this is coming from.
Yeah.
Have you ever been personally attacked by a techie?
No, because I'm such an angel.
Oh, bullshit.
I have to call. No, but you are. Actually, you are an angel.
Yeah.
Well, I'm respectful. So
sure.
So you've never had
any a techie like
I've
put
ever,
you in your place?
No.
Okay.
No.
Oh my God, Mr. Perfect. Janine?
Just really quickly, as a director, actually.
Yes.
Because it came out of a place of like, it was during House of Bernard Alba, and I was like, I wanted to be backstage to actually help, and the stage manager came up to me and said, "You need to stop. I'm in charge of all of this, and you," because I was like trying to help place props, you know, like she was, and then
stepping on toes,
but it actually made me feel really good.
Because she's doing her job.
She's doing her job, mm-hmm. and she has everything under control. And it was a life lesson for me. From there on out, I always step back as a director and be like, okay, they got it.
Yeah,
they got
absolutely.
It.
You know, I have been told, like, Alicia, stop fucking off. Because as an actor, of course, you're doing that. You're not paying attention. Yes.
Yeah.
So I had, this was when I was a bitextual person, which I don't know, I still kind of consider myself, maybe I can jump back in, whatever. So we were doing light cues for a show, and they're like, Alicia, watch this. And they're like, hey, let's just say his name's Nate. Who it wasn't, but hey, Nate, can you come center stage? We're doing some lighting tests. They're like, watch, he'll just stand here for as long. We have no fucking reason to call him back here. And he was standing on stage probably 3 minutes before he asked why he was an actor.
Oh my God.
Dude, there he was just fucking with them. I thought it was really funny. I'm like, are you guys always just fucking with us? Like, maybe, just slightly. So, okay, that kind of brings me into the second question. Have you guys actually been in tech? Have you guys done tech, like, strictly tech for a show?
I have never done just strictly tech. Just, like, only tech.
Mm-hmm.
However, you have saved our asses.
Well,
that's true.
A million times.
I've done technical work.
As the technical director of 11 Minutes.
But I've not been in a show just
only
to
doing
do
tech.
Yeah, technical work. Right.
Okay.
That's true. Have you?
I have.
I've done
stage managing, and I've done, I have been like on the tech crew doing like scene changes and stuff.
Okay.
And you know, I've done a lot of things.
Well, and you direct, obviously.
Yeah, but
director.
But nobody would ever let me be any part of their technical team.
No, have you never? Sick. You never did it?
Oh no! In fact, when I took a tech class in college, they would not let me do anything.
Shut up!
No, I'm not kidding you. Like, except sweep the floor.
Oh. See, and I'll tell you what. That is very techie. That is such a techie thing to do. Okay, actor.
Like your newbie.
Go and sweep the floor.
You're an actor.
You're an actor.
I was in a tech class and we had to help on a show, but it was like, and it, you know, looking back, I would have been interested.
Sure, of course.
But it was totally divided.
Uh-huh.
Between, honestly, between male and female, because we're talking a long time ago.
Sure.
It's true.
Yeah, and well, then it was, sex, you know, male and female, but techie versus actor.
That's a huge
true. Yep. And I was acting. Oh yeah.
There is such like a different world, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The actors are just the, I don't know, at least from a techie perspective, when I was bitextual, we would talk shit about the actors. Like, oh, what do they need to do? They just play pretend on fucking, narcissistic
assholes. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
They're not paying attention. They don't know what's going on to actually make this show happen. And so we would talk shit about them. And then as an actor, I'm like, oh my God, I'm one of those people. I feel so guilty.
Right.
But it is a total dichotomy. It's like,
it's like
forces kind of butting heads.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Which actually kind of brings me into this clip. I don't know if you guys have heard of this show called Pen 15. It's on Hulu. No,
I have not. So it wasn't until you showed us this one particular clip that I have not heard of this show. It's amazing.
It's so fucking funny.
I lost my lung capacity to breathe and I snorted. That's how funny this is. Okay.
And it's not only is it funny, it's so true to that perspective. So Pen 15 is about like two junior hires and who are actually played by like 30-year-old women. So which makes it really funny. But they are showing one of their best friends and one of them is an actor and the other one is on the tech crew. And so it's both of them seeing what it's like to do a show during Hell Week. Technical Week is another way we say
it. Right, and we had a show specifically around Tech Week and how chaotic and crazy it is anyway. Yeah. And then when you emphasize it, when you're trying to really highlight the dichotomy between the tech crew and the actors, it makes it even more over the top. Yes.
They live on different planets. They're trying to interact.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to share just like a little snippet of a
clip.
Scene.
Yeah, a little clip.
Go and check it out. We'll have it in the show notes.
And then, and that's the other thing too. We'll make sure and have a link so people can watch the entire thing because
it's worth it.
Worth the four.
It's only a few minutes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
Hey Anna.
Hey Mike. Please, can you do that and put your shoes on?
We usually rehearse without shoes, but.
And then we'll do places for the top of Act One.
Okay.
Guys.
We have our shoes over here.
So they're grabbing on the other side.
They're not back here.
Oh my god.
Tech week, people, take it from the top.
Tech week.
I saw you. I saw you with my own two eyes.
Hold. Yeah, stay right there. Hold.
I didn't even finish my line.
Okay, it's more important that we mark this cue. It's a lighting thing you wouldn't understand. Okay, we got it. Act.
Oh, is it your line?
Yeah, I saw you with my own.
Hold.
Oh my god.
Why do you keep going like this? If you're not going to do that on the day, don't do that. Okay, seriously? Okay, we got it. Act.
For 10 years, you've told me.
Hold. You're not in your light.
Thunderlight.
Still not in your light.
I'd rather go to jail.
Maya, that's you?
Line.
I'd rather go to jail than spend one more minute with you.
I have it, thank you.
To your left. Your left. The other left.
Hannah, let me finish the line.
Oh my god.
That's so perfect. Literally, that is so true. It's like sometimes you see things and it's like it's way overdone and it's not actually how
it's
things are.
Real.
That is what happens.
It's 100% real. Yeah.
You want to see what Tech Week's like? Fucking watch that clip.
It's not just Tech Week.
Oh yeah, no, it's totally true. It just comes to a head at Tech Week. That's for sure.
That's just such a good point. That's why it's called Hell Week.
Absolutely. Oh,
what
my
was
God.
Your? You had a third question here, but what? What,
yeah.
What is it? You said, what would you do? And what would be your personal
hell? Okay. So if you could do like tech yourselves,
uh-huh.
What would you choose to do?
I love that question.
Which like tech role would you play? And which one would you fucking never, ever, ever do?
Gotcha.
Or never want to do?
Wow. So I think running the booth would be so stressful.
Uh-huh.
I could do it, but I just don't. I feel like that's a lot of pressure.
You could do it because you are so good at, like, and you are such a perfectionist and in such a beautiful way. But like,
I just feel like it's a lot of pressure because there's so many actors depending on you being perfect.
Yes,
so it'd be very stressful.
Just a heads up, running the booth would be like the sound cues, mm-hmm. the lighting cues, making sure everything is being done. Sometimes with lighting, you can have it automatic, but you kind of have to. There is some manual work, so that is what being in the booth is.
And I just want to give a shout out to like the people for 11 Minutes, like our current stage manager,
yes.
Eric Shand. He's stage managing and he's going to be running the sound mm-hmm. and the lights, so mm-hmm. it's a lot. It
takes a special person.
Yeah, it does.
It does. Mm-hmm.
I do like the creative aspect of creating the sets.
Okay.
Coming up with like the solutions building. For, you know, like when Janine would say, you know, I have this idea that I want to do this thing, and then coming up with how we're going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a lighting guy. I will be the first to admit, and even when I do my music videos and things, that is my struggle, is the lighting. Yeah. And that we're going to be talking to Kevin here in a moment, and he will emphasize that lighting is everything.
It totally sets
the stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The mood, yeah. Everything.
Yeah.
So that is my Achilles heel, quite honestly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is lighting.
Yeah. Okay. That's a skill.
It is. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I have to also plug this. You are doing the sound for the show.
I do love music. Well, clearly I do music videos. Yeah.
So
you
understand nuances and all those kind of things.
Yeah.
That
I do like music.
That go on the show.
What do you like to do from a technical perspective, Alicia?
If I can do anything, I actually like helping out like with scene changes and stuff like that. And like, I would like doing stage managing from behind the scenes, during the show. I'd like to be in charge.
Yeah.
Not during the rehearsals, honestly. I would hate that. Different. It's a totally different thing.
Yeah.
But I did like being backstage and like helping with scene changes.
Yeah.
What I would fucking hate is being in the booth and being in charge of lighting cues, sound cues, things like that. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's too much stress.
It is. It's pressure.
Yeah. It's Janine, pressure. What do you think?
Well, I'd hate being a stage manager, even though there's a lot of overlap between director and stage manager.
There is.
Because it's the anxiety part of being a director. I love being a director, obviously, but I just, no. Mm-mm. So if I could do anything, honestly, I would be, I'd be a costume designer and a makeup artist.
Mm. Oh, I
would
yeah.
I would love to do that mm-hmm. if I knew how. I really would.
It's, hey, YouTube is a great place.
Inspiration.
So, yeah, yeah, wow. yeah. You can find a tutorial for anything.
Yeah.
True that. Mm-hmm.
But I will, and I'm going to plug this too. Yeah. Alicia is our costume designer.
Uh-huh. Yes.
She has an amazing eye.
I love, yeah. love costumes.
So. Yes, yeah, so we've had some good ones, and we get them for, well, so Cherry Orchard, you're going to have some good 1960s. Opportunities to,
uh-huh. Yeah, there are some great dresses, great outfits in this show. Yeah, I'm really stoked about it.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah,
yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, I do love that. It's fun. Alicia of us,
Cherry of us, Spaceship of us. It's time to drink. What are you going to make?
Okay. So I had to do something. I love my techies. I really do. I love
my
fucking
God.
Techies.
I can't live without them. Ugh. Are you kidding me?
They're
no
fucking
way.
Amazing. So I had to do something that I thought was worthy of them. So, and I wanted to give them that respect that they are due. And so I was thinking like, okay, what is the first thing that I think of when I think of a techie?
Well, first of all, let me just say it's visually interesting.
Yes. Yeah. That was the whole thing. I'm like, okay, what do they remind me of? Okay. They're dark. They're mysterious. They can be mean and broody and they get shit done. Okay.
Definitely. Yes. They're like the dark side of the force.
They are. They're totally the dark side. They're the dark, mysterious side. So I wanted to pay homage to that. And so what we're using today is a black vodka. That's why it's so dark. And if you look a little bit closer, you'll see there's something a little bit fun. And
wait.
They give us oh. they give us some of our light.
Oh my
right?
God. Did you use the sparkling before?
I did. Yes. Yes. So please, chin chin.
Okay,
chin. Let me know what you guys think.
Yep. Chin, cheers.
Chin.
Cheers.
Okay. Let's see.
So inside of this cocktail, it's 2.5 ounces of black vodka.
That is freaking delicious.
It's delicious.
So good, isn't it?
It's delicious.
Black vodka. And you can find normal vodka and then just color it black. Or there's specifically black vodka you can get. A freshly squeezed lime juice and simple syrup and ice. That's it.
That is it?
Yes. And
it's
let
delicious.
Me tell you, I put
wait,
them.
Wait, is there no sweetener?
Simple syrup.
Oh, simple syrup.
Yeah.
Okay. Delish.
So good.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to do is I also put them in mason jars because if you see a techie, they're in like they come up, bring trash. We have trash and they do something with it. Mm-hmm. So I'm
yeah.
like,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
They're a receptacle that has another use is yeah. a mason jar. So yeah. you can't have it in a nice cocktail glass. Right.
Appropriate.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Delicious cocktail. Mm-hmm. So what were the proportions again?
Oh yeah. So it's 2.5. Sorry, it's 2.5 ounces of black vodka, 3/4 ounce of freshly squeezed lime juice, or you could just get the bottled shit. It doesn't fucking matter. Okay. I mean, it does. It tastes better freshly squeezed, but whatever. We're all fucking humans. 3/4 ounce of simple syrup and then just ice. I added glitter to it. And that's the edible brewing glitter, which you can get on Amazon. Ours is gold, but I thought, hey, give them a little bit of light. They give us light.
Well, and so. It works great with the black vodka
yeah.
too.
Yeah, it does. It's beautiful.
Reflective.
Thank you.
Yeah. I want to know, how do you do this? Seriously.
What? Come up with a cocktail?
Come up with all of these.
Well, a cocktail, I was just like, ooh, what do I think of? And then I was trying to come up with like, there were a couple of directions that I went into, and this one was a direction I was like, this is pretty much gets the job done. It's a fucking strong drink. and you know, it's not super technical, but it's good. So
it worked
that's
out.
What I came up
okay,
with.
Okay, so this is the official
oh Jesus Christ!
No, it's not the official.
Almighty.
It's not the
every single episode.
No,
we have like 20 of them.
I only did this on purpose. It's not the official 11 minutes, but it's the official techie drink.
Yes, the
okay.
official
okay.
tech drink.
That's fine. Now it is time for Jimmy's nerdy gibberish. Nerdy gibberish now.
Okay, I could go on for this forever. Okay, I'm going to make this really fast about lighting. It's about lighting theater.
Yeah.
Okay. First, they started with candles, right?
Yes, that's true.
And then they went to the oil lamp. Okay, that's like in the 1780s.
They had those little reflectors in the front.
Yes.
Like a shell.
Yes. The thing that reflected it back.
Right, and just so you know, the candles would start many theaters on fire. Okay?
That's right. You hear about them going.
You do.
Yeah. You do.
And then you went to gas. And then what's cool about gas, okay, so it gave us footlights. And so if anyone wants to know, footlights are like at the bottom of the stage. How do I say that? The bottom of the stage, like the front part of the stage.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it gave us footlights. And it also allowed for lights on the both sides and what they call border lights. That's what that did. And then you went to electric. And, of course, Thomas Edison had a lot to do with that.
Mm.
And so you go to electric, and I'm not going to get into that, but it helped with opera. And then the limelight came from after electricity and all that. Then you had the idea of the limelight, which is...
Limelight? I don't know.
Is it light that's like lit by limes?
Oh, no. No, it's like if you have a spot on stage. That's what limelight is.
Oh, you're in the limelight.
You're in the limelight, so it's okay. The spot. Like if like you
I
have
thought
a
that
monologue.
Was a spotlight.
It is, but it was called the limelight.
Oh.
Yeah. I did not know. Yeah, I learned something new today.
Okay. Yeah. So all I wanted to say was, and this is the part that I found interesting, and actually it excited me back when I was a student. There was a man called Robert Edmund Jones, and he actually really changed how we use lighting and stage and techie stuff on the stage because he was an American lighter and director, and he created stagecraft to integrate all of the scenic elements into storytelling, including lights and it was mostly lighting. Okay, so but he How can I say this without sound? I'm repeating myself, but he changed how we look at the stage through lighting.
Uh-huh.
And he has a whole book out. And if anyone knows who Eugene O'Neill is or was, one of the most famous American playwrights ever, he worked with him in Provincetown Players. And he used, I know what I'm trying to say. Instead of seeing it as separate, he took lighting and made it part of the production. So that it was part of the storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you guys are ever interested, I read this book. Read the book that he did about lighting, because it really did change my view as a director and how he used lighting for that purpose. And then I'm done.
Like I said, it's lighting is everything in movies, in videos, in theater. Lighting is absolutely critical.
Yeah.
It's everything.
Yeah.
It sets the mood. It's so important. So I admire people that can do it because it's so difficult.
And he changed it. He changed it for the world. And so I invite anyone, the next time you go to a show, pay attention to the lighting.
Oh, please do.
Pay attention. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't realize how much, just imagine that stage just in normal
lights. Like right. Ceiling lights.
Ceiling lights. Yeah. Imagine that and then see how much it transforms the
stage.
It absolutely does. You could have a black stage. Like our last show, Vita, was a black box.
Right.
You know, in short, like
more
really,
or less, yeah.
More or less a black box. And the lighting totally transformed it and really gave each scene a very different feel.
Yeah,
exactly. Yep. Good. Well, I think we have a guest.
Yes. Speaking of lighting.
So our guest is lighting designer. And I know he does more than that, but that's how I met him, is lighting designer Kevin Taylor, who designed the lighting for our show, La Vida Sueño, Life is a Dream. And it was amazing and beautiful. And he was so helpful to me during the entire process. So let's give a big round of applause to Kevin Taylor.
Wow, we have a big audience
today.
Oh
my God.
You're at the bug.
Kevin, they love you.
Here in my basement.
Welcome, Kevin.
Yeah, welcome. And thank you.
Yeah, thank you for coming.
So just to start off and to get our listeners to hear a little bit about your background. Could you tell us about your background in theater and like how, what do you do now and how did you get here?
Okay. So background in theater, about 50 years ago, I was in a little play called Macbeth. In all honesty, in fourth grade, we did Macbeth.
Oh, fourth grade? That's obscene.
Seriously. Obscene.
I don't even think it was edited, but, you know, we were fourth graders. We had no idea what we were talking about. We're just doing the lines.
That's crazy.
I wore one of my mom's dresses from the 60s as a tunic.
Oh, my God.
And it was awesome. I had a great time. And then from there, I did theater off and on until high school. Through high school, I was in almost every play. The music department did some musicals, and my singing is not great. So I didn't do the musicals very often. When I graduated high school, I wanted to be an actor. I wanted to be a working actor.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, not the big names, but the guy that you... Didn't I see him in another play? And then I went to college, got disillusioned, quit, joined the military, did a little theater in the military, got out, got married, had a kid or two to be precise, got divorced, went back to college to study psychology, got about a semester in, and started theater again as a technician this time.
Oh.
So
you were never...
Sorry. Go ahead.
So you were never a techie until after you've done all the acting, you decided, hey, I'm going to go back to school and do tech work. Wow, interesting.
Well, I went back to school and decided I was going to be a psychologist.
Right, right.
What got me back into tech was a good friend of mine was teaching, had been teaching tech theater. He was actually my teacher for tech theater when I went the first time before I quit and joined the military.
Oh, wow.
But we had become friends after I got out of the military through a mutual acquaintance, and we had a grand time. So when I went back to get a little more money, I got a job in the shop.
Oh, wow.
By the end of the first year, I was the shop foreman, the student shop foreman, and pretty much in charge of everything that the technical director didn't want to handle.
You dove right
into
the
I started end. Taking more theater. Yeah, I started taking more theater tech classes. Didn't quite flunk my statistics class, decided psychology wasn't for me, and turned around to technical theater. And this would have been in the mid to late 90s. Oh, wow. So I've been doing technical theater since then.
And
I went to Kansas City and got a degree, came back here and started working.
And is your focus always been lighting, or did you do it all?
As the shop foreman, I did it all.
Okay.
But I really found a love for lighting. I love what I can do with it. I love the ethereal nature of it. The fact that we're such visual-based animals that I can actually almost control people's minds with it.
No, you can, because it very much sets the mood. It's so it does everything.
Yeah. It absolutely does.
Yeah. Yeah.
So and I try not to use my power strip.
Good.
So what are some of the favorite shows that you have worked on?
One of my personal favorites was a show called Jerusalem, because I really got to play. It's a straight play, but it has some absolutely magical moments. And we had a caravan, a little trailer, home trailer. Like you see in old movies, the little teardrop-shaped things.
Yeah.
We had pulled it into a little tiny space. We actually had to disassemble it and take the frame sideways through a standard door.
That is so cool.
Because that was the only way we could get it in. And then reassemble it on stage.
Jeez.
And as we're doing this, I thought, I can put colored lights inside the trailer. Because it's just the exterior that we need for the set.
Oh, that's cool.
And I can use the curtains as a sight.
Oh, wow.
So I was very delicately changing the color inside the trailer to reflect what was going on outside the trailer.
Gosh, that's so cool.
And I had so much fun. Heavy Rain was another one where the show was almost entirely in shades of blue. But there was one scene where it took place in an alley, and it was supposed to be in the headlights of a cop car. But this, it's, again, the same small space, trying to figure out how to get headlights in this space so that they're shining at the audience. Mm-hmm. And I wound up, because it was in an alley, we had trash stacked up in the back, and I wound up hiding lights inside of boxes with a black cloth over them that was sheer enough that the light would come through, and then spacing them and setting them up at the right height and everything else to turn on and give that effect of headlights. And it worked beautifully. And I love stuff like that.
That is so cool. You know, it kind of, we've been talking in our podcast tonight a little bit about how creative techies have to be. So as efficient as possible with no very little budget. And you guys are just finding ways to get around it. So I'm sure, you know, you're putting a damn trailer in a tiny ass, you know, theater. That's so cool. And it's, I don't know, I'm nerding out about it here. I was called bitextual, and now I haven't done tech in a while, but I do, and I did enjoy doing tech in the past, and I've done I've not done lighting. I've helped out with lighting, but
and I just want to throw out, because Kevin had mentioned a straight play, and so for our listeners that might not know, a straight play is the opposite of a musical. It would be, so a musical has music, and a straight play is just like a drama, comedy, something without music.
Yeah.
So on all that, what are two dream play shows that you've always wanted to work on with?
Well, and that's...
No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say specifically with lighting.
Yes.
That's the weirdest thing is I've done plays that were heavy lighting, and I didn't have as much fun on them as I have in the small, simple little play that I have to do something weird with. Because it's while I love doing beautiful little lights, I find that the doing the big musicals where it's all about the lights, or doing opera where it's all about the lights, I don't have as much fun with those as I have with the ones with the little odd little problems. Like, how do we make this moment more mystical or more powerful? Or how do we completely isolate four different people doing little monologues that are 2 feet from the audience and only 4 feet apart each?
It's that creativity.
How do we completely isolate them in light? And still sell the moment. And I love doing that.
Yeah.
In theory, I could be working at DCPA or some of the bigger houses, but I have to go union to do that. And if I go union, I can't work at the little house.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked about that.
I love working the little houses.
Mm-hmm. Well, that'll be interesting for our listeners, because they don't think they're aware of.
Yeah, so that is,
It's a huge.
So also for our, you're bringing up a lot of things that our listeners probably aren't
have no idea
about. Yeah. So when you are equity, you'll hear. If you ever hear anyone mention the term equity or union, Kevin's right. So if you are an equity member, then you cannot work in community theater without special permission.
Mm-hmm. Betty Hart was telling us about that. So if she wants to direct a show, she can direct anywhere.
Yeah.
But you can't. You could not. Act. She couldn't act. She's a union actor. So, right.
Yep.
Gosh.
Yeah. I've worked with Betty a number of times, and that's she has to get dispensation for me when she works at a big house because I'm not union. She has to get special dispensation for me if she wants me as a lighting designer.
Yeah. Okay. So. Okay.
You're for the Davids, not the Goliaths, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Right. Well, problem solving in a big house is just throwing more money at it.
Totally.
Problem solving in as a little house,
a little more creative.
I have to think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's a bigger challenge.
Most definitely. Most definitely. Okay. So tell us, besides your world of theater, because I know you are one of the most fascinating people I've ever spoken to, and you know so much about science and physics and just how things work. But outside of theater, what are your other pursuits and what do you do?
Well, I teach middle schoolers theater tech. I read, I play video games, I watch movies, I spend time with my 5 cats and my wife. I occasionally spend time with my kids. The biggest thing there, though, is reading. I read everything. When I'm not in a position to read, I'm listening to audiobooks. If I'm sitting in front of my computer and I'm not playing a game, what's probably happening is I'm reading something. It may be memes.
Cat memes.
Cat memes, yeah.
Sometimes, but I've found out more about the war in Ukraine through reading memes than I got from mainstream media.
Isn't that funny?
Wow.
Because there's bias in them, but the bias is obvious, and the bias is not generally focused in a particular direction.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike what you get, and it's not to really fault mainstream media or the reporters, but the companies that own them are going to have their bias. Then they won't let anything air that they think is going to cost them money because they're a business.
Right.
So NPR is one of the rare exceptions to that.
And I have a quick question. Okay, so if you were to tell someone, you know, who's listening to this podcast, who isn't a theater person, what a techie is, if you had to, like, you know, put it into one sentence, one short sentence, what is a techie's job? Like, what is it? What is their role in the theater? What would you say it is?
The general technician's job is to find the problem before it becomes a problem, solve the problem before it becomes an issue, and sometimes brag about it.
Well, never get thanked for it, right?
No, but you definitely should brag about it.
Yeah, you should brag about it.
It is thankless.
If
it
you totally don't brag is. About it, you don't get thanked.
Yeah.
You're right. You're right.
This is something one of my old mentors told me. If something you do something accidentally that looks good on stage, take credit for it.
Oh my God. Hallelujah.
I love that.
Hallelujah.
Straight from a techie's mouth. I'll tell you what, that is like the most techie, like sentence and explanation. I couldn't have asked for a better one. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
No problem.
So in the next 1 to 3 years, what are your plans in and out of theater?
Keep on chugging. What shows come my way?
What shows do you have coming up?
You know, Godspell, Matilda, Gypsy, one act play that goes horribly wrong, and then a handful of summer shows. And of course, the one I'm doing with you guys. I've completely forgotten the name of.
There you go.
The Cherry Orchard. Excuse me. Okay. Let's redo
the Cherry
that.
Orchard, yes.
Let's redo that. What shows are you on?
Wait. Well, we're live, and aren't you also doing Vanya? Sonia and Masha and Spike.
Yes, Vanya and the Cherry Orchard. Yes.
We were so
I'm
happy.
I'm a horrible human being.
No, not.
We're just giving you shit.
We're just totally messing with you.
I will say, like, I hadn't met you before, Kevin, and when you were doing lighting for Vita, I was like, man, he's so nice and so talented. It was
easy
really nice.
With.
So easy, so kind. Yeah.
And Kevin, and I mean this, and I'm saying this, I know, on live, but like, you gave me so much information. The very first time that I met you, you gave me so much information about lighting for Vita. And it was so helpful. And I thank you so much for that. I mean it. Thank you.
Absolutely.
You're very welcome. It's apparently what I do. the kids at the middle school that I teach at part-time love walking up to me and asking me random questions. Because I will do my best to answer them. And if I don't know, I say, I don't know. And if we have time, I'll say, let's go look it up.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
Any day you learn something is a good day.
It is. And it just speaks to who you are as a person.
Yep. So, Kevin, you know, we can't say it enough. We really appreciate you. Thank you for all the work that you do for everyone and, more importantly, for us.
We're not worthy.
We're
absolutely worthy.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us today. It was a pleasure talking with you.
It's been my pleasure.
Kevin, thank you so much. Enjoy it.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
Bye.
You too.
Bye.
Thanks, bye.
A round of applause. Jeez, standing ovation over here.
And I'm blushing in my basement.
Have a good one, Kevin. Thank you.
Thank you.
You too, guys.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
What a good guy.
Oh, so, so nice.
And he is talented. I mean, he did for Vita.
He's amazingly
talented.
He did
some great lighting for Vita.
Oh, my God.
So helpful.
He just came in, and it was like, oh, you know the 11th hour, you're like, okay, we don't have lighting. Like, you know, and then you see what he does, and you're like,
and he solutioned
holy
our shadow,
shit.
Our shadow yeah. thing. Yeah. He solutioned, and
so yeah. good.
He's good.
And I'm just gonna jump in and say this one.
Yeah.
thing. I think sometimes people don't know all of the drama that can happen within a production, and when you have somebody come in and they're just grounded and they listen and they want to know and they don't cause any drama themselves.
Right.
It just makes life so. Much
yes,
better.
I
wonder why it doesn't happen.
Say, no drama. We don't only want drama on stage.
No, and we didn't have any during Vita.
No drama. No.
But we had never met Kevin until then. And
that's right.
He was soothing. Like,
he was
I'm
so
sorry.
He was our knight in shining armor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was.
Lighting armor.
I love it.
So we are all very competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And Janine,
I'm not.
Liar.
You are filled with so much bullshit when it comes to you being competitive. Oh my God, Alicia, you're so competitive. I'm like, bitch, you are fucking looking at this score as I am writing it down.
Yeah, she's like, wrong
no,
column.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you're wrong column.
People
oh, no,
don't
that was
believe
a point.
Them. Don't believe them. I'm not competitive at all. Okay.
So the good news is that this game will require no competitiveness.
That's good for Alicia.
Hey, I call it like I see it. I am competitive. I know one when I see one.
Yay! So this is gonna be Mad Lib Theater.
Ooh la la.
And so we're gonna get some Mad Lib words, mm-hmm. and then we are going to do, this is called the flight attendants. And so we're gonna all be flight attendants. So it's almost like it's a game and an acting exercise.
Oh yes.
Together.
Okay. So down.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to ask you guys some questions. You guys want to just take turns giving me the answers?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, sure, let's do it that way. So we'll start with Alicia. a sound a bird makes.
Oh, is this in character? No.
No, no, yet. Just a sound a bird makes.
Chirp.
Okay. Janine, a number.
25.
Alicia, a fictional place.
Hogwarts.
Of course. Janine, a silly word.
Bobo.
Say it again.
It's in Spanish. Is that okay?
What is
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Bobo.
How do you spell it?
B-O-B-O.
B-O-B-O?
Like Bobo,
Bobo
the clown.
Got it.
Yeah. It means you're goofy.
I love that.
Okay. My computer's auto-correcting. That. It's like, that's not a word.
You bitch.
Bitch, it is a word.
Okay. Combination of, Alicia, combination mm-hmm. of syllables one has never said before.
Oh.
Jesus Christ.
E-I-E-I-O?
That's,
no,
those
syllables.
Are
those are vowels. God damn it. I've had two of these drinks.
No, no. That's a hard one. My God.
Okay.
Come up with a word. It's a nonsensical word.
Flibum.
Okay, perfect.
It's kind of like phlegm, but not.
Janine, a funny, weird first and last name.
I know, it's hard when you're on the spot.
Sorry. Georgoff.
Georgoff.
Littleton.
Littleton. Perfect. Okay, little ton. Okay,
yeah, what do you say?
An amount of time.
25 hours.
Okay. I think that's funny, but I do.
Scary insect.
Cockroach.
Ew. So gross.
A verb ending in ing.
Spelunking. Spelunking.
Spelunking. An adjective, Janine.
Seductively.
been our word.
Seductively.
That was our word for rehearsal today.
It was.
Why come I cannot spell that seductively? That's not, right?
Like seduction.
Or is that an adverb? That's an adverb.
Oh, with a lee is a adverb.
Yes. I'm an asshole.
Seduction. An adjective like purple.
Oh.
That, no. Okay.
Describe something.
Hard. Sensuous.
Okay, that's worse.
Sorry, that's
sensuous.
That's where my head is today.
I like that.
call me.
A plural. Yes. Oh my God, this is weird. A plural medical device that can save your life. Oh, so a device that can save your life, but we'll call it plural.
Oh my God, I went to the same place you did. Just think that last word.
Say
that
it.
We gave.
What is it?
No, I can't. Oh. It's not like, it's not kosher. It's not.
Okay, all right.
Okay, a medical device that could save your life. Mm-hmm. You can't
save that. That saves your life?
That's what we were both thinking.
You were
of.
Both thinking that?
Yeah. Shut
what
up.
What the hell?
Okay, so we're going to say a pacemaker.
Pacemakers.
Okay, pacemakers, yeah.
Okay.
Makers.
Can I get another cocktail, Alicia?
Janine, thing you wouldn't want to hear your waiter say.
You're fat.
I don't want to hear that. Yeah, never thought about that.
A number, Alicia.
A number, 72.
A chain restaurant, Janine.
McDonald's.
Same way, but like that, I was thinking that too.
An event you celebrate. Alicia.
An anniversary. Or can I say Christmas?
Like a wedding anniversary? Yeah.
No, Christmas is my favorite, so Christmas.
Christmas. Okay. Janine, something you hide if a guest comes to your house.
My vibrator.
Now, there you go. Now that's appropriate.
Yes, I was waiting. I mean, I wanted to say that in front of a pacemaker. We were both thinking the same thing.
Okay. Alicia, last thing you watched on your phone?
Pen 15, that video.
Pen 15, okay. Mm-hmm. A celebrity name.
Shakira.
Oh, yeah. She's great. Columbia.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that phonetic.
Such a great.
How do you spell her name?
S-H-A-K-I-R-A.
Shakira. Okay. A verb.
Oh my God. I'm
like run or jump or hump.
We're going to say, wait, can I say like meander?
I think that, yeah, that works.
Yeah. It's a funnier word.
I love that. I love it. It's a beautiful word.
Last question you Googled.
I'm not gonna admit it. I'm not. So I'm gonna have to make something up. The last question I Googled was, "How do I join the USTA?"
Do I join the USTA?
Dying to know what you actually did. I have to find out after the
podcast. Body part.
Your elbow.
Elbow. Birthday wish as a kid.
Meet Mickey Mouse.
Meet. Mickey
and to hell with Minnie
Mouse.
Oh, that bitch.
Birthday wish as an adult.
Meet Mickey Mouse. I'm kidding. Sorry,
Lisa. Happiness.
Aww.
Name for a motorcycle biker. Thor.
Gordo Jorge.
Ooh.
Gordo
Jorge. G-O-R-D-O. Hold on. G-O-R-D-O.
Space.
J-O-R-G-E-S. Okay. And the last one.
Thank God. The pressure.
The best pickup line.
You have to come up with this. Yeah.
Well, I'll just do one that... I'll do one that was used on me.
Okay.
Are you a parking ticket? Because you have fine written all over you.
Wait, please. Was it parking?
No. Ticket. No. This was in high school.
Okay.
I don't remember any as an adult.
All over you.
anyone can come by and use that on me, and I'll make you a cocktail.
All right, so I'm gonna. Oh gosh, I should have got a bigger card. I think we have enough room though. Okay, so we're running. Okay, so I'm gonna we're gonna pause. I'm gonna get us together so we can read the screen together, and then we're gonna be flight attendants.
Cool.
Okay, here we go.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome aboard the Chirp Airlines Flight 25 with nonstop service to Hogwarts. I'm Ron Bobo,
and I'm Mipolithum.
And I'm Jennifer, but you can call me Gorgoff Littleton. We do apologize for the 25-hour delay. Unfortunately, we are stalled because cockroaches are splunking on the runway.
Before we depart on this flight, we ask that you pay attention to this sensuous safety announcement.
Please ensure that all your mobile devices, including smartphone tables and pacemakers, are turned off and stowed. If we see you using one, we will kindly tell you that you're fat.
Oh. There are 72 exits on this plane. Please take a moment to look around and find the nearest McDonald's. In the event of Christmas, a vibrator will drop down from your seat above. If you have a child, please put the vibrator over your face first and then the child.
In addition, ladies and gentlemen, our in-flight entertainment today is Pen 15. We also have a bonus documentary about Shakira learning how to meander.
If you have any questions like, how do I join the USTA? Don't hesitate to ask by raising your elbow and waving it.
This holiday season, we at Chirp Airlines hope your wishes come true, including meeting Mickey Mouse.
That's right, Gorgoff Littleton, and I hope my wish comes true for all of you. Happiness.
Thank you for flying with Chirp Airlines, and on behalf of Captain Gordo, Jorge, and all of us.
Are you a parking ticket?
Because you have fine written all over you.
Okay, now was that entertaining?
That was fun. Yes. Yes.
See, you don't have to. We don't have to separate you two with scoring.
It was beautiful. It was great. Even though I will say I had been losing all year, and I finally. Did you guys know today is exactly 1 year since we had recorded our podcast?
Today was the day.
Are you
today
serious?
Was the day. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So what a great way to do it.
magic. And I just have to say, I'm so thankful to be here with you guys. Yes,
me too.
You make my life so much fun.
Oh my God, me too. I enjoy being here every single day.
Absolutely.
So we
have a couple of quotes.
I think we
from
have some
our,
quotes.
We do.
Yeah.
But just really quickly.
Yeah.
We need to tell our peoples.
Yes.
About all of the cool stuff we have going on.
We have a show opening up very soon.
Yes, we do.
So the Cherry Orchard's coming, which is a very famous Chekhov play.
It's like the Chekhov play.
Mm-hmm. And we've done some things to it.
We have.
We've adapted it.
We definitely have.
You guys, the listeners, know that I'm not a Shakespearean.
Mm-mm.
I'm not kind of those old play kind of guys.
Right.
And I like this show because for people like me, I get it.
Yeah.
And like it makes more sense to me.
It totally does. And it's a comedy. Like people think, the Cherry Orchard is a drama. It's not. It's so fucking funny.
Yes.
Despite like what's going on. And not only that, but let's call it what it is. It's like it's a Russian play being done. We're doing it right now.
Yeah.
During a very interesting time in the world.
Yes. Unintentional, by the way.
Unintentional, but it just worked out that way.
Yeah, it did.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want, and yeah, we just want people to know that we have adapted it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We
did
it. We placed it from the early 1900s to the 1960s. So there's great costumes and music.
Yeah.
And
maybe commentary on currently what's going on.
And comedy, even though, but the thing is, it's so about who we are.
Human nature.
Yes. It has nothing to it has nothing to do with Russia in the sense of, it has to do with human nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally.
So,
yeah.
So if you guys are curious or want to come, you
please
know, go to 11minutestheater.com. And the 11 is not spelled out. It's 11minutestheater.com.
And it opens on April 7th at the
Bug.
At the beautiful Bug Theater.
Where we are right now.
And so what we thought we'd do is that we would end with quotes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from the actual playwright.
From the playwright, Chekhov. So I will start it off, and forgive us because I'm passing my computer around.
Okay.
Okay, so the first one is, you must trust and believe in people or life becomes impossible.
It's very true.
Which is so true.
That is very true. And so Chekhov wrote all of are these part of his play, or these are just things that
these
he said?
These are just things that he said. So you start with love.
Okay. Love, friendship, and respect do not unite people as much as common hatred for something.
Which is very negative.
But it is true.
But there is something to be said about that.
Uh-huh.
And then people don't notice whether it's winter or summer when they're happy.
Which I thought was a great
point.
That
is a good point.
And incredibly, it's incredibly like on the nose for this show.
Yes.
So please come and see us. Go to 11minutestheater.com.
Yes. Please, yes, and then after that, we're gonna have another play that's kind of, I'm not gonna call it repertory, because it's not happening at the same time, but it's kind of like linked, sort of. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that a little bit in our next podcast.
No, it's okay. It's linked completely, because I encourage people to see both.
Yeah.
So you see original Chekhov, and then you come and see a contemporary playwright, Christopher Durang, and he's making a comment out of all of Chekhov's plays in this like dark comedy. And so
same thing at the Bug Theater.
At
we're stoked for it.
Yay.
So April and May, come on down.
Please.
Thanks for a great show.
Thank you, guys.
Thank
so
you.
Much fun today at the Bug.
Yes,
at the Bug.
Maybe we'll see a ghost.
We'll see you guys later.
Bye.
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 Thanks for joining us on 11 Minutes Now. Be sure to check back in a couple weeks for another fun episode full of Theater 411. For a full breakdown of each episode, links to resources mentioned, or to submit your questions for on-air discussion, head on over to our website at 11minutestheater.com.